What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see. A certain word, democracy. What is America to me?
Hello, Nevada. It's now time for That's America to Me with your host, Chuck N. Baker.
Good morning, Las Vegas, Southern Nevada, all those counties out there, and everybody and all our listeners. Glad you could be with us this morning. We have a guest in the studio today. This morning, we have Mr. Morris Dubin. Morris is a member and spokesperson for the Jewish War Veterans of Southern Nevada. We're going to talk to Marvin in a minute, but you know, Marvin, what we always do is when we get started is we open up the curtain and we let the audience get a look at our guest here. Let's see. There we go. Someone was listening at you there. I don't know who that was, but you got a lot of fans out there. So well, welcome to our show, Marvin. And so you're just, I keep saying Marvin. My last guest was, his name was Marvin.
Oh, I see.
Your name is Morris, not yes. Marvin. It's Morris Dubin. And so Morris, do you hold any officer positions with the Jewish War Veterans?
Yes, I am the chaplain of the Department of Nevada Jewish War Veterans.
Okay, very good. And you know, I know that I was really surprised to learn, if I can find it here, that you know, most of the veterans groups in town, they have one or two, maybe three different posts or chapters. But I see the JWV, as we abbreviated. You've got all kinds of chapters here. You've got the Greenspun Raiden, Post 21, Post 64, Murray Posen, Post 65, Manny Pavin, Post 711, Kendall Seigenberg. And then you've got the Department of Nevada, and with its own commander and everything like that. So, which one of these are you a member of?
Okay, in order to be a member of the Department of Nevada, you must belong to a post of Nevada. Huh. I belong to Post 65, Manny Pavin.
Okay, and Bob Roth is the commander out there, right?
No. Bob Roth is the commander of the Department of Nevada, and yes, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay, I have him down as commander of Post 65.
Also, yes.
Okay, so tell us. You know, I always ask the same question to our guests when they're here for the first time and they represent their particular organization. I say, well, you know, we've got so many other vets groups out there: the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, and whatever, Paralyzed Vets, Purple Heart Vets, and so why do we need the Jewish War Veterans? Aren't there enough organizations out there helping men
okay.
and women?
Okay, well, for a funny fact, we are the original veterans organization. There was no veterans organization before the Jewish War Veterans.
When did you guys start?
1897.
Yes. So are there any members left from that original post?
No. I think our Civil War members died off.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they got together with the Spanish-American War members and made specifically was called, I'm sorry.
Yes.
The Hebrew Veterans of the United States. It was changed in 1929 to the Jewish War Veterans of the United States.
Okay. And you have, I guess you have posts all over the country from coast to coast?
We have posts from coast to coast.
And so what are some of the things locally here, what are some of the things that your organization does to help veterans?
Okay. My organization does, as any other post, veterans post in the United States, our first priority is to help the veterans. My post locally, what we do in Las Vegas, is we support the veterans' home.
Okay, in Boulder City.
Uh-huh. Yes, we support them. We buy rooms and all from them in memory of Post 65.
Okay.
We also support the USO here for the active military. We have we support Nellis and all.
I see. Okay.
We
and you support these groups monetarily or in what way?
Yes, monetarily. We have our personnel who belongs to Post 65. And by the way, when I say Post 65, let me exaggerate this. The Department of Nevada, Post 65, Post 64, and Post 61, we do quite the same thing.
Okay.
Every year, twice a year, we go out there, we stand by stores, and we collect funds, money.
You have, you give out poppies, is that
we
it?
We give out poppies.
What
yes,
color are those poppies?
This is red and white.
Red and white poppies. Okay. I would have thought they'd be blue because blue is a color that the organization is associated with.
Yes, but these are red and white poppies representing Flanders Field, World War One Flanders Field.
Right. Flanders Field where so many
passed.
Passed away in battle out there, and they're buried out there today still. So so you do you raise funds in that way, and I know you one of the things you do, because I was there just a few weeks ago, I think your organization sponsored a dinner for U.S. vets, is that right?
We donate money to U.S. vets, yes. As you saw, we are a 6-star donator to them, the highest donator they have.
I see, okay, that's great. And I know your members were out there in force at that dinner. It was quite a nice evening out there.
Yes.
So what service were you in, Morris?
I was in the U.S. Army. I was lucky. There was no war that broke out during my time.
Uh-huh.
I volunteered from 1976 to 1979.
And where were you stationed mostly?
I was stationed in the province of Hessen, which is Frankfurt.
Frankfurt, Germany?
Frankfurt, Germany.
And what for the most part, when you were in, what did you do? What was your job mostly?
I did various.
We all did various things.
Various jobs. I worked in the office. I worked in the kitchen. I worked wherever they put me.
I see. Worked in the kitchen. Did you peel a lot of potatoes?
Or? We didn't have the peeling. The German civilians did that. They were on the contract. Lucky for me.
Lucky for you.
We
I'll
wiped
say.
A lot of tables.
Boy, no potatoes. Potato peeling, that's a new one.
No.
I had to peel a lot of them when I was in, that's for sure. So about how many, you've got all these posts in Nevada. Are any of these posts up in the northern part of the state, or you're just
we
down
here? We have or had one post in the northern part of the state. They are not active.
Not active at this time, okay.
Right.
So I'm going to just read a little bit about the organization here. It says that that the Jewish War Veterans of the USA, we're proud to say we're the longest-running veterans service organization, founded in 1896 by a group of 63 Jewish veterans from the Civil War after a series of anti-Semitic comments about the lack of Jewish service in the Civil War.
Yes.
Since then, the group has been working hard to be the voice of American Jewry in the veterans community. But then it says, you've done much, but wait, there's more, they say, that you've been up to so much more than fighting against anti-Semitism. In World War One, you established the Jewish chaplaincy within the military. You also fought to include
The Jewish chaplaincy in the military was done way before World War One, and in the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln, he expounded that honor on us.
Hmm.
He gave our Jewish chaplains in the Civil War the insignia of the Mug and David, the Star of David.
Okay.
So we would differ from the Christian chaplains,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean we did a different job. Christian, Jewish, and if they had Presbyterian, we all did the same job.
So this, I downloaded this from the internet, and it says that you guys established the chaplaincy in World War One, but you're saying it actually was way back in the Civil War.
President, we couldn't establish it because what authority do we have? It's
okay.
Up to the president.
Okay, and it said the group also fought to include other grave markers in veteran cemeteries other than crosses. So
yes.
That would mean the Star of David and maybe some other religious...
Yes, the Star of David.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And you also, during the rise of the Third Reich, you led a huge protest march and boycott of Nazi Germany and all their German goods. And you also campaigned for the 1938 Foreign Agents Registration Act, which eventually led to Nazi leaders in America being deported from the country. So that's an interesting law that you guys got passed. And in World War II, you fought hard for the Jewish soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines, and probably the Coast Guard, too. It doesn't say that, but I know you supported them. And
all military we support.
Mm-hmm. And services were conducted on the battlefield, where you were also Jewish communities sent packages to the troops. And when the troops came home, you were there for them, and you campaigned to have religious and racial protections put into the GI Bill in 1944. That ended up allowing Jewish and other minority soldiers to use their GI benefits to lift themselves out of poverty. So as a veteran, I'm just curious, Morris, did you ever use the GI Bill?
I just caught the tail end of the GI Bill. Yes, I did. I used the GI Bill for education.
Uh-huh.
But we are still in the business of supporting benefits for the military. There are several bills in Congress that has to be passed. The Military Dependency Act, which includes more health benefits for our military and their dependents.
Okay.
You know, God forbid if a soldier gets killed in action.
Uh-huh.
And also the budget of the military. And let me just tell you, I'm not being political here, but we fight both on the left and the right. And Congress wants to divert some money that goes to the military to, in this case, the wall.
That's the Vietnam Wall?
No, wall. The wall that they're building down in...
I'm sorry. Yeah. The wall down
right.
at the border,
We want no money diverted from our military. They need as much funds as possible.
Okay. Well, as you say, you're not political, and that wall is subject to a lot of debate. But one thing I was going to bring up, though, irrespective of the border wall, is that year after year, it seems that, and correctly so, I think, that the VA, the budget is never quite what the veterans want. The VA always gets a short change. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
It's been getting better now, and veterans have been getting more benefits. As a matter of fact, if a hospital, the one up there in Pecos, is located more than, I believe the number is 50 miles from your house, you could use a local clinic and the VA will pay for it. That's a big, big benefit.
Right. That was passed recently that under certain conditions, you can't just, veterans can't just run out and hire a civilian doctor.
Oh, no, they list the places.
If there is,
some of the
rules are that if the VA clinic, the one over on Pecos, is, if they don't have a doctor or a medical professional that can handle whatever it is that veteran has, or if that veteran has to wait months and months to get seen, he can apply to go to a civilian doctor and get seen more quickly, and also get to a specialist who might be able to treat his particular illness or whatnot. So that is a something that was recently passed. And
Even though the VA in this area does a fantastic job.
Definitely. Yep. I agree with that. I often talk about that. You've got all these posts now down in the South. Do you have any idea how many members combined?
Unfortunately, like the American Legion, like the foreign veterans of war, we are losing people.
Mm-hmm. You're losing people. You don't know how many you have right now, though.
We have approximately, I would say a little over 200.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And lucky for us also, we have a women's auxiliary that is part of our organization.
Yeah. What are some of the things they do?
They do the exact same things we do.
Okay.
They incorporate with us.
Uh-huh.
And our funds are shared.
Okay. And I know you also have, and I've got some information, but Jewish War Veterans of the USA has a foundation. Are you familiar with the foundation? It's not really something you get involved with locally.
No. What kind of foundation?
Yeah, I'll just read it. Well, in 2010, national organization created a foundation to directly give back to the veterans community to support American active duty military personnel and their families. And they focus on helping veterans and active duty personnel. They help them to go back to school after their service, something called the National Achievement Program. More than $5,000 in grants are awarded annually to applicants. Foundation also offers a grant program for high school seniors who are direct descendants of members of the Jewish War Veterans. The group also helps sponsor the annual Jewish Warrior Weekend held at Texas A&M in the spring. Jewish cadets from over the country are invited to participate in a weekend that provides camaraderie, tools, things that they need to succeed in the military. And they say here solidifies, there was a cadet, a student by the name of Daniel Rosenfield, and they quote him here. He says that Jewish Warrior Weekend solidified my commitment to the military and the Jewish people. As future Jewish military officers, we must remember we are defenders of the United States while ensuring that we remain steadfast advocates for our Jewish community. Hearing from active duty and veteran Jewish military officers has rekindled that sense of patriotism and pride. So I guess maybe the foundation is not that active here in Nevada.
Well, I'm glad we have the JWV has such a thing in these various places. But over here locally, we give money, well, not exactly scholarships, but I would say we give money for various contests that we put out to the schools, but all post 65, 64, and 21. And with the active duty, we give money to the USO, as much or more money that we give to other organizations.
Okay.
And the USO supports the active duty members, which includes the two facilities they have at the airport. And our members also volunteer there.
I see.
We also, there's a place, a residence, that the people from out of town, when their dependents or their relatives are in the VA hospital, there's a place that they could stay for free. We support that place, the Fisher House.
The Fisher House.
We support, and we also, let me turn this off. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
You don't want to hear
phone
that.
Call here, people calling in. Okay.
Okay, the Fisher House. We support it, and we gave money to that foundation while they were building it.
Mm-hmm,
Matter of fact, Mr. Fisher told us in Vegas, we are the people who gave the most money in the shortest period of time so they could start the building of this Fisher House, or else it would have taken another 20 years.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, as Morris mentioned, the Fisher House is a nonprofit group. The Fisher House is all over the country. This particular Fisher House is on the grounds of the VA out in North Las Vegas. And if a soldier is in the VA hospital for an extended period of time and his family lives across the country somewhere, or they might even live close but they don't have the funds to travel here, they can come to the Fisher House and they'll put them up free of charge and take care of them otherwise. So I'm glad you guys are supporting that.
Also, we give money and various money and various clothes to the new enlisted personnel. I think they should be new enlisted personnel who has babies. We set up a day that we give clothes to them, etc., and that's specifically post 21, I believe.
I see. Very interesting. Yes. Do you guys, do some of your members also, do they go visit the VA hospital and,
yes,
and
we
visit
do that.
The patients there?
Yes, we do.
Very good. That's something I know the patients enjoy, having veterans come around
yes.
and say hello.
We also contribute clothing over there. They need socks for some odd reason I'll never understand.
Oh,
you could give $100,000 worth of socks. I don't know why. They used up 1, 2, 3.
They use them up. Yeah, there's
Hero New York.
There is a actually a company. I've read about them. I don't know them personally, but there's a company that manufactures socks. And I think they have a thing where every time somebody buys a pair of socks, and this company donates a pair of socks to veterans, something along those lines. So I know socks are definitely
yes, a needed items over there.
Yeah. Okay. So very good. Well,
we are proud to do it.
A lot of the avant-garde people today who are into fashion, you know, they don't wear socks; they just wear shoes. You know, so maybe if that ever catches on in the military, then you won't have to give them any more socks. I don't know.
Well, these are veterans' hospital, and I don't think it'll catch on.
Okay. So anyway, let's go back to some of the history here. It says that during the Cold War years, your organization fought the Ku Klux Klan and the John Birch Society. You fought hard for the rights of Jewish American soldiers. During the McCarthy era, when Jewish American troops were being accused or even let go because of their Eastern European upbringing. I didn't know about that.
Yes, that's a long story.
I bet. Yeah.
It actually started back in after World War One, because there was a Red Scare.
Uh-huh.
And since at the time, mostly the Jews were union leaders and belonged to socialist parties, they accused many people and sent back many people to Russia because of this Red Scare here in America.
Yeah.
And the bias against Jews were high at the time. Jews couldn't get into the very top universities before World War One, like Stanford, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So the Jews who could afford it, I'm not talking about those Jews that came off the boat as refugees. We had people here that fought in the Civil War, and they were very comfortable here by post-World War One.
I see.
So they sent their kids, because of the bias, over to Germany, to the Berlin University, which is a very high-acclaimed university at the time.
Yes.
So World War One came around. The United States looked at this population and said, are you patriots of the United States or are you patriots of Germany? The answer was, we are patriots of the United States, but we can't get into these universities. Things changed after that.
That's a story I never heard anything about.
Yes.
That's a pretty challenging situation back in
the
day.
It is very, very challenging.
Yeah.
But that was the bias then. This is America. It's still a great country then. And if the people make it, it will be a great country in the future.
So when these students went to Germany to go to school, did they spoke German, or did the school
yes.
teach English?
Don't forget, post-World War One, German and French was world languages. Germany was a great country.
Uh-huh.
They were the technological country of the time.
Right.
I mean, we weren't.
Yes. No, that's right. In fact, our space program, we got it from Germany after World War II.
Yes, we did,
imported those guys, and we told them, don't ask, don't tell what your background was. Just design these rockets for us, and
you'll
be okay.
Exactly.
You know, definitely.
If Germany would have, if Nazi Germany would have had a policy of treating Jews fairly, guess who would have had the atomic bomb?
Mm-hmm. I understand. Okay, so let's see. There's also in... you have a, not in Nevada, but you have the National Museum of American Jewish Military History. Where is that located?
Washington, D.C. We have our national headquarters. We moved it, I think during the 50s, we moved it over there.
Okay. Where was it originally?
I think New York, if I'm not mistaken, because that's where the JWV originated.
Started. Okay. And it says, in that museum, it's a living testimony to a Jewish American military service going all the way back to Osser Levy in the American colony of New Amsterdam. Since then, thousands have gone through the museum to learn more about the rich history and what major sacrifices Jewish Americans have made in the name of democratic values of the United States. During the Vietnam War, you guys worked hard again to create care packages for Jewish soldiers overseas, and you were also one of the groups that campaigned vigorously for the return of all prisoners of war from Vietnam.
Yeah. Yes, we had a lot of people. Don't forget, we still had the draft, so it didn't matter who you were.
Exactly. Our
people went over there mm-hmm. and paid highly for it, but as I said,
yeah, well,
this is the greatest country in the world, and you would want to participate in anything
right.
that wants to attack.
Well, I'm of course, I know firsthand about the draft because I'm one of those guys.
Of course.
So that was that deal there. Yeah. So how about let's see, I lost my train of thought here. So we'll just keep on reading. I'll remember what it was I was going to ask you. But it says after Vietnam, you guys led a national protest. When it was announced that the U.S. was going to close the Haifa USO, and where was that located? You know about that one? Well, it's right here in print. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. Sounds like it was over in
Israel.
In Israel,
sounds
for sure.
Like it.
Yeah, but I see the decision was reversed, though, and it's still...
I believe it's post 55 in Israel.
Okay.
We fought right along with them during the War of Independence.
Okay. For their War of Independence. Or
Our War of Independence, we also fought highly. And that was mostly our Sephardic community.
I see.
Who escaped from Spain.
So we're down to our last couple of minutes. If people want to get more information about the organization, they want to join, they want to volunteer, they want to donate money, whatever... is there a phone or an email or a website, or what's the best way for those people out
the
there?
The website is jewishwarveterans.org.
Okay, jewishwarveterans.org. Now, is that the Nevada? Will that take them to the Nevada JWV, or is that the national
That's
site?
The national.
Okay.
If you want a phone number,
mm-hmm.
let's see. Oh, okay, hold on.
Okay.
I got it right here.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking up that phone number, folks. Time to get a pencil and pen and paper and go get what you need.
Yes. You could call 805.
That's area code 805.
279-4319. That's Mr. Howard Spanier.
Okay.
And also my number you could call is 718-514-4584. Morris Dubin.
Okay. I got you down here. And... So, Morris, where are you from originally?
Originally, New York.
New York City or
yes,
Brooklyn?
Yes, New York City.
Manhattan, huh?
Yes, the Bronx.
The Bronx, okay. Because, you know, the battery's up and the Bronx is down.
Exactly.
How it goes. I know that much anyway. So, what brought you to Nevada?
Well, I retired and I wanted to live the good life. And here you could live the good life.
Right. What did you retire from?
I retired from computer operations.
Okay, very good. So, Morris, we're going to have to cut our interview off here. I appreciate having you on
it's
the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for being a guest here. And, you know, when it comes to the Jewish war veterans, especially the ones in Nevada, that's America to me.
That's America.
Thank you for listening. Chuck N. Baker will return next week with another edition of That's America to Me, a public service of Lotus Broadcasting in Las Vegas, Nevada.